From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The economy is like a house of cards. If one part goes wobbly, then the whole system can fail. What's the ripple effect from record mortgage loan defaults and a lowered interest rate? To crunch the numbers, we've got Keith Reed. He covers economics for the Boston Globe. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Farai, how are you?
I am doing great. So we really need your help here. So the Fed, the nation's central bank, took action recently to save the economy from recession by lowering the interest rate. So what's the point of lowering that interest rate?
Well, the point is what they wanted to do was sort of stimulate the economy a little bit. What happened when you started to see all the woes in the subprime market and you started to see so many people going into default is that the credit markets tightened up. What that meant is that people couldn't borrow any money. And when people can't borrow any money, people can't spend the money that they've been spending. And in recent years, purchasing houses and other big ticket items based doing so with debt really helped buoy the economy when many other things weren't growing. You didn't see a lot of job growth. You saw wages stagnant, but the economy was still doing very well because people were buying big ticket items like homes on credit. When credit goes away or interest rates go up, then people can buy less, and that means you're at risk of the economy shrinking or going into a recession.
Let's take a walk through some of the different players here. So there are banks who give loans, and there's also mortgage companies that give loans. Is there a difference in what they're doing?
Yes, there is a difference. The banks are regulated by the federal government and also many state regulatory agencies, which means that in many cases, they will hold borrowers to a tougher or to higher standards than many of the mortgage companies, which aren't regulated by many states or the federal government at all. So most of the subprime borrowing that sort of kicked off this this big decrease in the mortgage market, this decline in the housing market, were given by mortgage companies that were not owned or controlled by banks and didn't have any regulation at all. Those subprime loans are much more risky than a traditional mortgage that you would have gotten from a traditional bank. And because so many of those mortgages were given to people who didn't have credit that was as good as it should have been, who didn't have the kind of assets that they needed, who didn't come to the table with down payments that they should have had, and many of those mortgages were also sold as securities back to Wall Street, that set up this big peril that you see the economy and the housing market in today.
It makes sense that the companies who gave out mortgages, at least in general, have been making money off of interest. But there are other people who essentially have invested, aren't there?
Absolutely. This is what I meant when I talked about mortgages being sold back to Wall Street. What happened was if a mortgage company gave you a mortgage, right? You've borrowed that money from that company. Now, a bank traditionally needs you to be able to pay the interest back on that mortgage in order for them to make money. But the reason why so many of these mortgage companies were making loans that banks couldn't make was because they had an ace in the hole, and their ace in the hole was Wall Street. Many of the mortgage companies would essentially take a mortgage, lending you money, and then sell that mortgage as a bond, or basically as debt to Wall Street, and the Wall Street investor would then take the risk off the shoulders of the mortgage banker. It's essentially me lending you money without having to worry about whether or not you pay me back because I've sold the IOU to my brother or my sister. That person takes the risk off of my shoulders, so I don't really have to care whether or not you're a good credit risk because they've taken the risk off my shoulders, and in turn, they will make the money off of you paying the interest on the mortgage.
So it's like a chain reaction. People are passing these things on. So who's left holding the buck?
The person left holding the buck is going to be the investor at the other end of the table, the person who's or the company, typically a hedge fund or something like that, who's bought that mortgage paper, that security or that bond from the company that lent you the money originally. And unfortunately, you're going to be left holding the bag because you've gotten a mortgage that you probably couldn't afford to begin with. And when that interest rate readjust upward, we're talking specifically about somebody who was in a subprime mortgage that was also an adjustable rate mortgage, meaning that it was typically a very low rate for a year or so, maybe 3 years, and then it would readjust upward once rates changed in a couple of years. Those are the people who are left holding the bag.
So when you have the Federal Reserve lowering the interest mm-hmm. rate, is this something that's going to really affect somebody who's just stretched and who's saving every dollar to try to make sure they pay their mortgage? Is that who's affected by this drop in rates?
Well, the unfortunate part about it is you could there's a strong argument to be made is that it doesn't really help the person who's stretched by their mortgage payments. There are a ton of these mortgages that are still out there that haven't readjusted, where the interest rates haven't changed yet. They're going to come due. The readjustment period is going to take place over the next 1 year, the next two, maybe even 3 years. So you're still going to see more and more people whose rates are going to adjust upward. I mean, even with the rates being bumped down slightly, they're still above where they were 3 years ago when many people bought the houses that they bought. So it's not necessarily going to help that person. What it is going to do is stimulate the economy, hopefully in some other ways, by making credit more available to people who haven't yet bought houses, or to companies who haven't invested in equipment, to companies or investors who want to do some borrowing and put more money into their own enterprises. But it's not necessarily going to help the person who's in trouble with a mortgage right now.
True or false? Someone who is not an economist said, oh, this is a great time to buy real estate if you have perfect credit, because everyone's searching for people with perfect credit.
That's somewhat true. It's not entirely true. I mean, I had a conversation with a couple of my friends this morning who are either one friend who lives in the D.C. suburbs who owns a house already and is trying to refinance, and another person who lives in Chicago and is just buying. And with so they say impeccable credit scores. It's not really what's happening in the market is not really helping them. I mean, credit got so tight. Mortgage companies and bankers got so restrictive with what they lent because of the problems that they had with all these subprime loans that really many of them should never have been made in the first place. I mean, that's where you need to start, is that many of these loans should never have been made. But because they've had so many problems and so many defaults and so many foreclosures go on, that even people with perfect credit today are having a tough time borrowing the money to buy a house that they can't afford. So theoretically, yes, it's a good time to buy a home right now. You're definitely in a buyer's market. You've got many more options if you're a buyer. You've got much more negotiating power than you had 3 years ago. The big question is whether or not you can find somebody to lend you money. And in many cases, people who have impeccable credit can't find a lender to give them the money.
Is that going to actually cause housing prices potentially to go down even lower? Because if you have people who actually want to buy, and a lot of people don't want to buy right now, but they can't get the loans, I would assume that that means that the people who've got the for sale signs out are going to have even more trouble.
Absolutely. Every economist, every realtor that I've talked to has said that this trouble is not over. You've probably got at least another year, maybe even another 18 months of downward pressures on housing prices, especially in markets on the coast where you've got these housing prices that have gone up by incredible, unrealistic multiples for several years, double-digit percentage gains in the cost of or the going rate for a home or for a condo over the last 3, 4, 5 years. Some of those prices they need to come down, and it's gonna hurt some people who are trying to sell houses. But that's really the only way for the market to get back to some stability. I mean, if the going rate for a condo is $400,000 in a marginal neighborhood in Boston, or $600,000 in a really not so desirable neighborhood of New York, I mean, at some point there just isn't going to be a buyer left out there for that condo or for that single family until the price comes down. It has to come down for there to be some rationality back in the housing market again.
Now, getting back to this whole question of the interest rate, is there any possible downside to individuals or to investors or to the health of the country in lowering the interest rate?
Actually, there is. Remember when we started the conversation and I talked about this, or you actually brought up this house of cards effect, where so many things in the economy are tied to so many other things. And the point that I made was that, you know, the economy was really kept afloat for the last several years by consumer spending, and much of that consumer spending has been fueled by borrowing. The problem with that is that when you borrow, just like in your own household, you know, when you borrow too much on your credit card, eventually the bill comes due, and if you can't pay the bill, then there's, you know, there's going to be some hell to pay, right? Well, that happens in the economy as well. When the economy is buoyed by too much borrowing, when those bills come due to every American household and to every American company that has been making a profit on irrational spending based on irrational lending, which happened all over the place over the last several years, it's going to hurt people. You know, there at some point you just can't borrow any more money as a household or as a company. And if the economy's strength is really based on how much companies and individuals have borrowed, then you know you're going to have some problems. And that's what we've seen over the last several weeks. Actually, many economists do think right now that the impact of lowering interest rates really is to help Wall Street and not necessarily going to help consumers that much at all, that this is really a bailout for wealthy investors who are having problems because they can't borrow the money that they used to be able to borrow to make some of the investments that they were making. And it's really not trickling down to the consumer level. And that's a great concern.
All right. Well, Keith, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Keith Reed covers economics for the Boston Globe. He joined me from member station WBUR in Boston, Massachusetts.